Test.
Oh, I have to go back. One second.
Right, I'd like to call to order the meeting of the hearing board for the Monterey Bay Air Resources District for Friday, June 12th. And I will start with the roll call, please.
Okay. Chair Guth?
Here.
Vice Chair Dodge? Director Gerard?
Present.
Director Cook?
Present.
And Director Corpy?
Present.
You have quorum, sir.
You start with an opportunity for a public to comment on items not on the agenda. I'll start by looking in the room to see if anybody would like to comment. See any? Do we have anybody online?
No hands raised online, and we did not receive anything.
And I'm sorry, what was the last one?
And we did not receive any public comments in the mail.
Okay, and the next item on our agenda is to accept and file a summary of actions. They were included in the agenda packet. I believe starting, on page number one, that's right. And I've certainly reviewed them. I'm wondering if there's any comment and whether we might want to make a motion.
I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
I can second.
Thank you. I will, am I allowed to approve those, counsel, by acclamation without objection?
Was there a vote taken here? I heard a motion a second. Did all say aye?
No, I'll go ahead and take a formal vote.
Yeah, let's
okay.
Verbal?
Why don't we do a
roll call? Okay. Chair Guth?
Yes.
Director Gerard?
Yes.
Director Cook?
Yes.
Director Corpy?
Yes.
Approved.
Counsel, I was just trying to sneak in a without objection approval, but I was just, evidently I'm not going to do that. Okay. All right, next we're going to receive an oral update on docket 26-001, Monterey Regional Waste Management District Regen Variance Project Site in Salinas. Yeah.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to give you an update on the variance that was heard on February 13th. And the variance was for Monterey Regional Waste Management District to not source test their landfill gas engines in calendar year 2025 and 2026. I'm happy to say that all four engines have been tested. Engines 2 and 4 were tested on January 27th, as we reported to you on February. However, we found some issues with the testing done on engine 4, so we required them to retest that engine. So on May 12th and 13th, engines 1, 3, and 4 were all tested, and our inspector Mike Hamaguchi went and observed the source test. And he didn't observe any issues during the testing, and they did not identify any testing issues to us after the test. So they do have 60 days to turn in the source test report. So we haven't received that yet, but once we receive that, we'll review it and make sure that everything is good. But as of right now, so far, it looks like we are on board for them to be in compliance.
Thank you for that. Is there a time period on that work by which it all must be completed?
The testing work or
reporting?
The reporting is due within 60 days of the test. So they did it May 12th and 13th, so we're only at about 30 days.
And the reporting has a time period, but did the testing have a time period?
We actually, the variance allowed them not to test the engines based on certain parameters. So they were able to get all the engines up and running, and so they were able to test them.
Very good. Thank you for clarifying. Further questions?
Or if I can give a comment, I just think those kind of updates are really important to hear. So I appreciate bringing that forward to know that, you know, the variants we offered, they have followed through and gone, you know, beyond that effort too. So thank you for the update.
Okay, I'll move on to item 6, which is a public hearing on docket 24-002. City of Santa Cruz Resource Recovery Facility, second modification of the final compliance date and extension of regular variance for the city landfill at DeMayo Lane. I am going to start by administering an oath to those we think might testify, and I'll look at and I'll ask. I see you sitting there, and I see a long name. Oh, I see some people. Okay, there they are. Okay. Just wondering how many of these names I should read. I'll go ahead. Do we think everybody on this list that's remaining on this list? Very good. Okay. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Boy, you.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Kent. Hey, Kendra Kent. That was F. Although I. Oh, I.
Yes. No. Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Okay, I'll repeat. Putting you under oath, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Kendra Kent?
I do.
Thank you. And for staff, Amy Climo.
I do.
Very good. So now we can proceed with the petitioner presenting case. Please.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Hoi Yu. I'm the senior engineer for the City of Santa Cruz Public Works. I'm in the refuse division. So the city is the owner and operator of the landfill. So obviously landfill generate landfill gas. And the city has contracted with Opal Fuels, also known as Santa Cruz Energy LLC, for them to collect and destroy landfill gas. This contract has been in place since the 80s. So Santa Cruz Energy LLC owns and operates the landfill gas collections and destruction system. So that includes the wellheads, all the pipes, the plants, the engine. And so what happened in 2024, in February, a high wind. So when Santa Cruz Energy LLC generates electricity, they send it into a grid that belongs to PG&E. And so what happened in 2024, February, a high wind event had damaged some of the equipment on the PG&E side. And so they prohibited Opal from sending electricity onto the grid. So if they can't send electricity, can't generate, they cannot collect gas. So we immediately notify MBARD of the situation. And we also contacted our consultant Tetra Tech to come up with a solution to bring us back into compliance. And it was determined that the quickest solution to bring us back into compliance, which is collecting landfill gas, is to bring an open flame flare on site. So we, but that requires a variance from the air district to operate. And so we came to the board in 2024 to get an interim variance as well as a regular variance to operate the open flare as a landfill gas destruction device while Opal and PG&E work out bringing that plant back online. That plant came back online at the end of July 2024. We started operating the open flare after we've gotten the variance in around May 2024. So since the plant came back online, the open flare is only acting as a backup device because there's maintenance and there's just, you know, unplanned downtime. So and then in the meantime, we were also working to design and install a permanent flare. So we came back last year, May 2025, for an extension of the regular variance to extend the compliance date to July 31st, 2026. We do have a contract on site. They poured concrete pad, like honestly 10 days ago. The flare is scheduled to come on site July 21st. However, we don't think we'll meet the July 31st compliance date. So we're back to request an extension to bring the final compliance date to December 31st, 2026, to allow us time to install the flare, get the test, and then get the permit to operate it as a backup landfill gas destruction device.
Thank you for that. I have a question for you. Most of my questions are going to come after the staff report, but I didn't want to interrupt you. But early on in what you said, you mentioned about the ownership of pipes and other things. If you recall that phrase, when you're talking about the collection pipes, and the, do you remember that phrasing and about the split ownership and who owns and runs what?
So Opal Fuels, Santa Cruz Energy LLC, they own everything that has to do with landfill gas collection. So the well that collects landfill gas, the pipe that brings it to the plant, the engine that destroys the gas and turns it into electricity, they own all of that.
So they own the equipment that's the on equipment. Your property going down into your landfill for collection.
Yes.
It's not just the energy generation portion. It's the entirety of the piping going into your landfill.
Yes.
Okay, I don't think I understood that before. Any questions before we go to the staff report?
Chair, on page 36 of the agenda, there's a letter from Canal Recycle indicating that the facility would be put on the list of
the inventory?
The violations of state minimum standards inventory. Is that related to the flare issue? Did you receive that letter related to the flare issue?
It's not. I believe that that probe was out of compliance before this flare issue. We're also working on getting that probe back into compliance.
Okay, so that has not yet been resolved, I think. Okay.
It's not.
All right, thank you, Chair.
Yeah, one more question. So my understanding was kind of along the similar area, the packet page 39 on the, so originally the landfill had gas engine to be able to, you know, do the electricity generation and put that onto the PG&E electrical grid. I understand there was a temporary flare, looking at permanent flare. Are you moving to, is there still a plan to be able to have a cogen or other electrical generation system be able to provide that onto the grid? And, or is it just simply the permanent flare as the option?
So our contract with Opal is still, we still have a contract with Opal for them to collect and generate electricity. This permanent flare is still a backup device. That is the current plan.
Okay, so the permanent flare would be a backup to that.
Yes.
And maybe this will come up in the staff report, but would the permanent flare meet the requirements for emissions so they wouldn't require a variance moving forward? Or is it just the, you know, cogen or other electrical generation systems?
Yes, it does. So we've already issued the authority to construct, and it's in the agenda packet mm-hmm. that does have the limits that show that it meets our. It's called best available control technology requirements for the flare.
Okay. Yeah. But it's still less than what if they were actually doing like a cogen or other would provide in terms of emissions, but it meets the requirements.
It meets our, yes, correct.
Okay.
So before you give your report, I had thought today we were going to cure an issue that had come up 2 years ago when we started this, which was, there was certainly discussion, and let me see where this is, agenda page, roughly 163, 164. You know, it depends. I can't remember whether this was a large or a small, how many hundred thousands of tons you have underground, but the requirements of the owner of the owner and operator of the landfill run gas collection. And what I thought we had before was, and have, the ability to deal with the gas, like, for example, through a flare or through a turbine driving an electrical generator. And I thought what we had before was an interesting situation, which we discussed with council, and was that they have a landfill that's generating gas. They're transporting the gas off-site or to another owner, and it's going into a turbine. And I asked, given that there's no other stuff on their site, how are we compliant to this portion of the code? And what I thought was that there's now going to be this in-ground flare that's going to be their flare. So they, as owner and operator, are going to now have a gas collection and elimination system of their own, separate from also the opportunity to route gas to electrical generation. And we were going to get around this wrinkle in the landfill code. But evidently that is not what's going to happen, because now we're hearing that all of the piping is owned by a different entity. And so here's my question that you can answer in the staff report, and I might throw to applicant now, but just so you hear it. Who's the applicant on the, who's the receiver of the authority to construct for the in-ground flare?
The city.
Do they own it and operate it?
Yes, they will.
Okay, so that's going to be different than their collection system that's owned by the offsite operator?
Correct. This is actually how landfills sometimes operate. They have a different company that decides to come in and collect that landfill gas into an engine and run it and send electricity to the grid. We have other landfills that have third-party engines operating and using the gas.
I know.
So it's a similar
I'm aware of that.
model.
You run into codes that are outdated because they were either written at a time where that wasn't foreseen or not. I mean, it's the same thing we had with the big industrial warehouse that was at a power plant. When in King City, there was an agricultural warehouse that had a power plant that was really part of it, but they had broken it off both in a corporate structure so that it was its own entity, which I figured was probably for tax preferential treatment, subsidy purposes. And then we go to make a finding that shutting them down, would it have a problem? Not really, because they're just a power generation source, but they're beholden to one and only one customer. But they're not, that customer is not the applicant for the variance, and it's not interfering with the applicant. So these breakups cause problems in code. Anyway, I thought we were curing that permanently with this
We
process.
can't because the city and Santa Cruz Energy are both owners and operators per these definitions, and that's just the way this regulation works.
I heard now I'm getting this deja vu. This is the discussion where we had polite disagreement 2 years ago. That when you look at the code and it talks about the owner or the operator, it keeps referring to the owner and the operator of the MSW. Like, I was the place.
But what Hoy just said is that Santa Cruz Energy operates the gas collection system. So one of the, if you look at the agenda page 185, it says operates any stationary equipment for the collection of landfill gas under the definition of operator and under the definition of owner. And so therefore, Santa Cruz Energy is also an owner and operator. It's a complicated
I
situation.
will go along with that. Well, but I'm only one of but when another code section talks says owner or operator, I don't believe it to be speaking of an aggregate multiple owner and operators when it's using singular owner and operator in a code section. So let me just put it this way. I have discomfort with it. And Mr. Gerard, this is probably in your experience background, I'd be interested to hear your comment on that. I'm not making a big deal here, but I think we need to talk it through.
An interesting point. I guess my rationale would be that we would defer to the staff's interpretation as they have interpreted the regulation all these years.
Just so you know, 2 years ago we pulled council into it as well.
Well, and this is also, this is a state regulation. So this is how CARB has told us that it's to be interpreted, that we've asked CARB specifically for this exact landfill because it is a tricky little situation. And they told us Santa Cruz Energy is an owner and operator.
No, and I get that. First of all, I don't think it's a bad thing as a matter of policy and practice. But that's one level of our responsibility is reviewing these codes as they wrote them, even if they wrote them in a way that now perhaps they mean a little bit of a different thing or interpreting them differently. And if I was going to be prickly, I would say, so did CARB point you to any written guidance when they gave you that
They
interpretation?
have a frequently asked questions document that's from like 2014 that kind of explains that, but we got them to further confirm for us. And then the other little sticky widget is that they just changed this regulation and it's right now being reviewed and should go into effect next year. So they've adjusted these definitions to make it even more clear why Santa Cruz Energy is an owner and operator. Partially based on this situation. So to be continued.
I'm being persuaded that we're good here. I just felt that it's important to air out a second time. I thought we were putting this behind us, but it's still intertwined.
Yeah, and I think that's why it fell to the city because the city's agreement with Santa Cruz Energy is about an engine. There's no requirement in that agreement for flare. And so it sort of falls down to the responsibility of the city. Our gas can. Collection and control system cannot operate if this engine's not operating. So somebody has to put in some kind of a control device. So we're going to take responsibility and do that, which is why they came to us for a variance.
But that perspective actually lends itself to an interpretation that the owner operator of the landfill should be responsible for gas collection and elimination so they're not worrying about a third party's equipment failure. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Any thoughts on that?
Small incremental improvements.
Okay, I'll go to the staff report, please. Thank you.
Sure. I just, since this is the third time we met to discuss the situation, I just wanted to explain we included sort of all of the history back to May 2024 in the agenda packet. So it ended up being a large agenda packet, but Mr. Guth was the only member of the board back in May 2024 when the variance was originally approved. So we just wanted to make sure that the members today would have all of the full background of how we got here today. I just wanted to make a few comments that we did review the data. So the city has been turning in the data as required by the variance for temperature and hours operated. And it looks like each year there is a significant chunk of time, several hundred hours, where Santa Cruz Energy will do planned maintenance. And so it's been really important to have that open flare available to back up and have continuous control of the landfill gas. And so we feel that it's really important to continue to allow operation of this open flare until the enclosed ground flare is installed. And then I just wanted to mention we included, because now that we have all this data to look at, we're able to know that yes, this landfill open flare does operate 24 hours a day because the landfill gas engine has a limit on the pounds per day of emissions. So we added a section in the staff report just to compare the open flare pound per day emissions to the engine pound per day limits on the permit. And just in terms of trying to understand excess emissions. And so there's only 8 pounds per day of NOx and 13 pounds per day more of particulate matter emitted when the open flare is operated. So it's not, that's not a large number. Our, for example, threshold for requiring best available control technology is 25 pounds per day of NOx. So 8 is below that. So we don't really find that this is, these are minor excess emissions. And then just wanted to point out, we did change our fee rule about excess emissions last year, but we're not going to apply excess emission fees to this variance because at the time it was originally granted, the fee rule was written in a way that public agencies were exempt from fees. So
I want to ask a question about what you just said, if I could interrupt.
Sure.
May have misunderstood what you said, but you contrasted running the flare versus running the gas turbine that runs electrical generator.
Yeah.
And you say that the electrical generator is limited in time per day or some scale.
Yeah.
Because of an emission limit. But during that time, you'd have to run the flare, but that the flare has excess emissions. Did I understand that then if instead you ran the electrical generator more than its allowed hours per day, instead of running the flare, that emissions would be lower?
Yes.
Than running the flare?
Just for oxides of nitrogen and particulate matter. For CO, it's actually less to operate the flare. So it's pollutant dependent. There's a table in the staff report. So it's just for the oxides of nitrogen and the particulate matter that are a little bit higher when you run the flare.
And if you are asked to make a judgment call, which do you think is better for the environment, to keep running the electrical generator or to switch to the
I think it's a more useful way to use landfill gas to create electricity rather than just burning it into the atmosphere. That's just my personal opinion.
And we didn't consider any time, year and a half, to just let them use the generator more?
They use the generator as much as they can. I think last year I looked, there were only 462 hours out of 8760 that the flare had to operate. So it's not a significant chunk of time. The engine's really the one operating, yes. No problem. Staff supports the modification of the variance order to extend until December 31st. This will allow the city time to get the flare installed and tested. And we're requesting the board find good cause to extend the final compliance date.
Thank you for that. I will save my comments till after my colleagues, except for I'm going to make one first comment, which is I always forgot at the beginning of this because I just jump in to dig in. I appreciate the way the process has been going these last 2 years, that we had things that had to be done and that they've been done, that the city had to work to get a permit, authority to construct and to get this equipment, and all this stuff is going along. and then all the reporting has been done. So I want to thank everybody for the work that's been done for 2 years. And I'll then turn over for comments. Anyone?
It's a quick question just to confirm. So the variance would be moving it from July to December. And it looked like in the staff report that it's anticipated be completed construction by September 30th. Is that the current plan? So it'd have about a 2 month buffer in there?
Yes.
And you feel confident in being able to complete by December?
So the flare again is scheduled for delivery in like late July. So yeah, we're hoping that cushion will cover us.
Okay.
Well, I'll jump back in here. I want to go over the findings. I actually don't think we can make the findings as presented, and nothing wrong with how they're presented, but because of the unique circumstances of this kind of a case. But I don't have the mark. I have the findings marked, but I didn't have the prior variance. Do you know what page of the agenda the prior variance was that's in here? I want to take a quick look at, and I'm sorry I didn't do it last night, on how we worded the findings. And I'll share with you, if somebody could maybe find the prior one. You have it there? Page 39? Yeah, and it has to do with this. Like, we're asked to make a finding, for example, that due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would result in either an arbitrary or unreasonable taking of property or the practical closing and elimination of a lawful business, which makes sense when you have something like an asphalt manufacturing facility. It's over-emitting. We could shut it down if we required compliance. But here we have the emissions already coming underground from things that are already in the ground. There is no way to demand compliance except through what we've already done. We've first had one flare, and now we've got a permanent flare. And we would not be taking property or closing a business by requiring compliance, because it's not a thing you can shut down. The emissions don't stop. And so I'm going to suggest that we should have something along those lines. I mean,
you did put, there's a fairly lengthy page 40 and 41 of the agenda. And
so
they
already addressed this.
The original findings, there's almost a page of discussion of this finding.
Somehow I think I might have been behind that at the time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yeah. That's why we have everything in here, so we can remember what we did 2 years ago.
So as you can see then, looking at page 40, I felt like we needed to have an explanation to explain why a finding can't be made in the sense that it's inapplicable. Not that it can't be made because the project doesn't merit a variance. I want everybody to take a minute to read that, and then let's come back to the finding.
And it all stemmed from an accident that happened with wind, and PG&E could not repair something swiftly. And 3 to 9 months, plus or minus.
Well, that doesn't totally take them off the hook, because they don't have anything in place to take into account that possibility. So I don't know if we need as much as we have in here from before, because we're further along now, but I certainly want to, you know, there's something here on page 41 at line 6. If the landfill was closed and no longer accepted waste, landfill gas would still be generated from the existing waste in place. These kinds of things. So seeing as how ultimately, you know, this is a lot easier when it's one person. When we have four, I think if we're going to have a vote, we have to modify the findings in place now here before we vote on them. And I'd certainly like to start talking about amendments that we can then, when a motion is made, if a motion is made, we can say amended as discussed. So if somebody wants to make a suggestion here. So are we continuing to temporarily operate the open flare? Is that still applicable language? I believe it is it not? So maybe everything from line 21 on page 40 of the agenda through line 17 of page 41 still fits. And I certainly believe that part about the shutting it down doesn't do anything.
Well, it would make sense, I think, if in the order that's before us, we incorporate by reference the findings of fact made in the original order.
And that's stated on page 255, the top.
255?
Yeah.
But does that mean editing out, for example, on page 255, line 7, finding of fact B, which is only one long sentence, without explanation? I'm comfortable of incorporating prior findings of fact without writing them into the new variance council. Is that appropriate? Okay. So then I'm going to suggest we go back to this page 40 and 41 and confirm that these findings, as found before all you all were here, are legitimate.
I wasn't there for that, I don't think.
So I do think B works still. I mean, it's a little dated in that they've already now put in for the replace the in-ground.
Well, if what you want to do is incorporate those lines that you just identified, rather than bring them forward, we could just say on page 255 under B, we could say the findings of fact made.
I'll do that. So at the end of the period after the word business, right, I will write
the findings of fact made on docket 24002.
A little slower. Docket 24002.
On May 16th, 2024. For finding of fact B are incorporated herein by reference.
And the summary on page 41, 10 and 11 say it all. The fact is, community needs solid waste.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Lines 10 and 11 on page 41. The alternative to not allowing a variance would be devastating to the community because there would be no solid waste management. It would come out whether they want it or not.
Mm-hmm. That's in our current.
Yeah. Line. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've made an amendment to B. And just clarify for the record, at page 255, line 10, at the end of that sentence that ends with business period, we would then include the findings of fact on docket 24-002 on May 16th, 2024, for finding of fact B are incorporated herein by reference. Then we go to C. C, we have the same issue, which is an easy finding to make. The closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. And as we wrote 2 years ago, a reduction in air contaminants would not occur as a result of closing the landfill for the reasons stated there. I believe we could repeat the exact same addition after the word contaminants on page 12 as we used on finding C, except substituting C for B.
Correct.
So with the same language, I'm just wondering if we're going to find one of these that might not be applicable today compared to 2 years ago, but I believe that one's fine. Okay, so the next one is D, has the petitioner given consideration to curtailing operations? And I believe what's written there is fully applicable today.
Agree.
Yeah, so we would do the same thing, same language, the findings of fact, and this would be at D after the word variance period on line 14, findings of fact on docket 24-002 on May 16, 2024, for finding of fact D are incorporated herein by reference. So we do that. Now we have E. Once again, I do. And I appreciate, Amy, that you put in something to incorporate those back for us, but I think we need to do it out here in open hearing. So does anybody have any concern about the finding made at line 14 on page 42 of the agenda for E from 2024? And this is a finding with regard to the petitioner reducing emissions to the maximum extent feasible. They've been doing that, have they not?
Yes.
That was a question to staff and an answer to staff. So I'm going to just suggest the same. Just to be thorough, I'm going to do each one at a time for the record. So for E, we would have the same thing, and that would be after on line 16, after the word feasible, dot, period, we would say the finding of facts on docket 2402 on May 16th, 2024, for finding of fact E are incorporated herein by reference. And then the final two are F and G. G, I believe, is fine just the way it's written. We thought it to be fine 2 years ago. It's about nuisance. We're not foreseeing a nuisance. We don't need to further buttress that with any facts. And so F is in there, and this has to do with this one. I'll ask staff. So F, at the time we said, during the period the variance is in effect, petitioner will monitor or otherwise quantify emissions if requested to do so. And then we put in a statement that MBART is not requesting petitioner to monitor or quantify emission levels during the term of this variance. Is that still a valid thing to be saying?
Yes.
Okay. So that's not really a finding. I think that I would just like to lift the language from lines 22 to 24 from page 42 and have them added in just after. So after the word district on page 20 of 255, we will add in lines 22 to 24 of agenda packet, agenda page number 42. And just in case everybody's not on the same pages at the same time, I'll read it again. MBARD is not requesting petitioner to monitor or quantify emission levels during the term of the variance. Petitioner will comply with the conditions set forth in this variance order. Okay, that was a lot. We did a lot the first time, I think, now that I look back. So those are my recommended modifications to the order, should we choose to make a motion.
I'll move to approve the variance extension with the modifications suggested by the chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. Any discussions? Public comment. I guess we maybe could have done this before motion. But we always have an opportunity to amend the motion.
No one's online.
Okay, so I want to ask if we'll just take a look at the agenda exactly here. Apologies. We have an opportunity for public comment relating to this item 2402. Is there anybody in the room that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I will ask.
No hands are raised online. And we
it's online. So we do have a motion and a second. We have a roll call, please.
Will do. I'll go backwards. Director Corpy.
Aye.
Director Cook.
Aye.
Director Gerard.
Yes.
Chair Guth.
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Thank you. Next is an adjournment, but I'll give an opportunity for any comment of any kind related to anything.
I think one comment that I have is it just seems like we're getting a lot of landfill requests, and I do think it would be valuable to have the opportunity to potentially do like a site visit and be able to visit one of these and see kind of the cogen flare, just talk through with staff kind of the limits and just kind of get that field perspective. Maybe that's the engineer on the panel speaking.
Sounds like a great idea. Okay, with that, I will adjourn the meeting.